Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has been writing and recording music since 1999, and in the intervening years, that music has garnered 5 GMA Covenant Award nominations and a Western Canada Music Award nomination. Since 2004, a number of challenges have faced singer-songwriter Jaylene Johnson, including a head-on accident on the Trans-Canada Highway and the near loss of her voice. Her new CD, Potter and Clay, puts into song the lessons she's learned through these trials and tribulations. Jaylene is on the phone with us from her home in Winnipeg to talk about her music and the Potter and Clay CD in a few moments. But first, let's listen to How Long from Jaylene Johnson's Potter and Clay CD.
Who led me to this desert? Was it me or was it you? Am I being punished for what I did or didn't do? Been walking round in circles, consumed by every mile. The landscape of a broken heart, too hurt to reconcile. How long? How long? Will I stay here in the shadows? When will the pain be gone? How long? Say I'm moving on. Well, I believe that you are faithful, all-knowing and all-wise. And I've seen your mercy moving through the quarters of my life. Well, I'm asking you to rescue me, or am I just a page in history? 'Cause I've been here much longer than I ever thought you'd let me be. How long? How long will I stay here in the shadows? When will the pain be gone? How long? How long? Can I finally say I'm moving on? Help me find a way out. I wanna know what freedom's all about. Shadows, when will the pain be gone? How long? How long? Can I finally say I'm moving on? Can I finally say I'm moving on? How long? How long? How long?
And now to our conversation with Jaylene Johnson. Good evening, Jaylene.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Now, let's start by giving our listeners a little bit of background about you. When did you get interested in and start getting involved in music?
You know, I think music just sort of was always there. My dad tells me that, my dad and mom tell me that when I was little, like 3 years old, they'd find me on the balcony of the apartment singing songs to Jesus with my little face pressed between the bars, my little legs hanging out there. So I think it's just always been in my heart.
And when, so did you start formally taking lessons or sort of how did that develop into the point where you were actually, you know, doing something more with it than just singing?
Well, yeah, I was one of the lucky ones that had both private lessons in piano as a little girl, and later I did some voice lessons as well, and school programs too. You know, coming up, especially through high school, I had a fantastic music teacher that put me in a small group and kept getting me up in front of people, so I learned how to be in front of an audience. And then a church that I attended was a very special place. In fact, quite a few Christian artists from Canada that are well-known came out of that same church congregation, which was at Kilcona Park Alliance Church in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have Love and the Outcome, which is, of course, Jody King's duo with her husband, and Starfield. You know, both of those groups were at Kilcona at the time that I was there. And they just let us try our wings, you know. I wasn't writing as much original music at the time, but certainly singing solos and being in groups and leading music on Sunday mornings, we were all given opportunities to do that. And I think that really helped develop who I am as an artist.
Well, when did the songwriting itself start then?
You know, I'd always written songs. I'd always written poems and short stories and songs just sort of privately. I remember performing one publicly when I was about 10. And coming up through high school, I was in a band, you know, with a bunch of guys, and I'd play them my songs. And I mean, I took them way too seriously, these guys, because, you know, I was writing this poetic stuff, and, you know, I don't think maybe they were quite at the place to appreciate what I was working on. They were more into kind of shredding guitars quite loudly. And so I really wasn't sure if I was any good at songwriting, is I guess what I'm trying to say. And then when I decided to start recording, I was going to record a jazz and gospel record in Winnipeg. I was working with a producer named Lloyd Peterson, who said, you know, do you write any of your own songs? And I very sheepishly played him a couple of things. And he said, Jaylene, you're a songwriter. You should be, why don't we do a record of original songs? And so we did. That was enough encouragement for me to keep going. And from that record, I ended up winning a couple of songwriting awards. And that was enough encouragement to keep going. And I did another record in 2004 in Three Hills with Steve Rendell and Eldon Winter, and that got some radio airplay on Christian radio. And so all these little steps just kind of kept me going.
Mm-hmm.
Then after a major car wreck, I ended up with a publishing deal, and that's really where my songwriting started to develop and mature.
Well, as you were developing in that, were there any people that you, any songwriters that you sort of looked at as an influence, who you were looking at as, you know, I enjoy their style, I want to learn from them? Was there anybody that was an influence for you?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't listen to a lot of music in the home, actually. So as I started to write my own songs, it was like an education for me, and I started to listen to, you know, Joni Mitchell and Carole King, and, you know, I was being compared to Carole King, and I was, Carole who? I'd never even heard of her before. So it was really wonderful for me to kind of dig in, and Fleetwood Mac, you know, another band that I just love, like some of these classic bands that were just great songwriters. In the Christian realm, Nicole Nordeman had a huge impact on my life and also on my, you know, my songwriting, in that I love great lyrics. And but I would say on my life even more so, because she was writing songs that sort of said the things that I needed to say but hadn't found a way to say them. And as a songwriter, I was saying to someone recently, if someone comes up to you and says that your song does that for them, I really don't think there's any greater compliment or joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my hope with my writing now.
Well, one of the things that you've done, too, in over the years is you've gotten involved with St. Benedict's Church, which is also very much a church that has a lot of influence with the arts and that. And I've talked to Steve Bell before in the past, and Faye Hall, and that. And you become, you know, the ministry coordinator and, you know, working on writing liturgies and things like that. How much of a challenge has it been to develop liturgical songs for something in that realm?
Well, I'm so glad that you brought up St. Ben's, because that really leads us to this most recent chapter of my life. I've been at St. Ben's for about 10 years, since just after it started. And one of the things, as you mentioned, at St. Ben's is original songwriting for liturgy. And it's very, very rich with songs from both our music director, Larry Campbell, Gord Johnson, Jenny Moore, Steve Bell, you know, among just, I am among wonderful songwriters from that church. So as I started to have opportunities to lead music on Sunday nights, I would read a scripture and a song would come. And it was really a wonderful thing that was happening in my spiritual walk, because the songs I've written in the past have been quite pop-oriented, and I've enjoyed that. And I've always tried to write in a way that was sort of accessible to believers and non-believers. But at church, I was trying to write and learning to write songs that everybody could sing and everybody could grasp quite quickly. And to write something in a simple way but that says something profound, that's a very unique challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and suddenly I wasn't writing for commerce. I wasn't writing to land a song on television shows, which is, you know, I've been grateful enough to have happen for me. I wasn't writing a song to try to land it on radio. I was writing as a way of loving and nurturing a congregation and trying to wrap the profound truth of a scripture in a very simple form that other people could catch on to. And it's been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at my time, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with singer-songwriter Jaylene Johnson, and we're going to talk about your latest CD, Potter and Clay. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
You're the potter and the clay. You're the potter and the clay. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the potter and the clay. I am flesh and I am bone. I am flesh and I am bone. From the earth into the earth I go. I am flesh and I am bone.
Arts Connection, you've been listening to Potter and Clay, the title track from Jaylene Johnson's new CD, Potter and Clay. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Jaylene Johnson. So you talked about the fact that this is now sort of a new part of your journey for you, and that what kind of led you to recording this particular CD at this particular time?
Well, you know, the music industry changed a lot over the last decade. And I felt quite reticent to invest personally, financially, spiritually in a record again. But I had a longing in my heart and something always niggling at me over the last several years saying, you know, you need to do another record or explore this. And at the time, I'd been co-writing quite a bit and writing for other people's projects, which I also love as a songwriter. I love songwriting, period. But I'd been avoiding maybe taking that time to sit with myself, sit with the guitar, and face some of my own truths and see what came out. So over the years, I've had various conversations that have been very encouraging to me and sort of nudging me forward and in that direction. And last year, I had a great conversation with Steve Bell, who really encouraged me and on top of that offered me his studio. He said, look, I'll give you the studio, and we talked about a producer he works with, Murray Pulver, and he was so encouraging, and it really sparked something in me. So I decided to take some time at a cabin, a remote cabin, to write songs, to see what came, with the hopes of maybe going forward and doing a record, and that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I really have to thank Steve and Dave for giving me time at Signpost Studio Music to record in their studio.
Yeah. Now, looking at that and looking at some of the background material that's come with the CD and that, you talk about some of the different experiences that you've had that have made their way to into the songs. You know, the accident you had in 2004, your challenges in having a family, you know, the potential loss of your voice at one particular point in time. How have all of those experiences over these last decade or so shaped you and shaped the songs that appear on Potter and Clay?
Oh, wow. That's for a very long conversation. But I would say, in short, that as we go through things in life, we mature and, you know, I think we have to face some of the deeper things in life. And, you know, invariably, as an artist, that's going to impact how we express in our expression of things. As a singer, you know, whether I'd had vocal challenges or not, our voice matures as we go through things and as we experience things. You know, people will say now when they listen to Potter and Clay that it's the most real record. You know, they're appreciating maybe more depth in my voice, not that they didn't appreciate it before, but they're noticing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I've just hit a point in life where I'm excited to share in a more personal way, but I can also bring my songwriting skills and hopefully have created songs that are universal as well, where they can become other people's songs. And that's really my heart, is that this body of work would become others' prayers and be able to express, as I said earlier, the things that they aren't able to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think when you look at it, too, the fact that I'm looking at some of the titles here of the songs, you know, One Tiny Prayer, Let the Silence Speak, Potter and Clay, Pray, Pray Again. How much of a challenge was it for you to sort of start laying yourself open lyrically as you were going through this and letting people know about some of the challenges that you've gone through and how it's how you've been able to work through them?
That's a really good question. You know, I think I kept my soul so stuffed, like so at bay, that by the time I got to that cabin, it was just ready to burst open, because I'd come through so many things. But interestingly enough, the night before I left for the cabin, I discovered I was expecting. And this is after being told we had a less than 1% chance of conceiving a child. And so I went to the cabin on quite a high. I also determined when I was there that I would not edit myself, and any creative people out there will know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Yep.
We can be so self-critical. And I said, okay, my goal is to write 2 songs a day, because my husband was coming for another week after, and I didn't want to work when he was there, and my goal had been to do a song a day over 2 weeks. I said, okay, I'm going to have to do 2 songs a day. I'm not going to edit myself at all. I'm just going to let whatever comes, come. And, you know, it sounds like this wonderful, glamorous thing maybe, but, you know, I procrastinated like I always do at home, even though I had pretty much nothing to do at a cabin other than write songs and go for walks. But I ended up writing 2 songs a day, and they poured out. They just poured out of me. It was really quite something, and I'd had pieces of songs that I hadn't finished that I went back to, and I was able to finish and work them out at the cabin.
Now, when you did that, I mean, have you gone through and done some editing with them afterwards, or are some of these songs exactly the way they were when you wrote them up in the cabin?
Another great question. I would say probably every song's gone through some kind of editing. One Tiny Prayer, you know, there are a few that are pretty close, maybe even bang on what I wrote, but, you know, maybe in the arrangements, the piano arrangements or chord structures, things changed. Rest in Me, I added a verse in the studio because it was a little too short. We did the vocal arrangement for Your Love is Washing Over Me. We did that in studio, and that was one of the songs actually I didn't write at the cabin. There were a number of songs that just didn't make the cut, and maybe in part because they weren't quite developed enough or because they didn't quite fit thematically with where I wanted to go, the direction I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. In comparison to some of the other material that you've written, what was it like recording these ones? Was it different from what you had recorded before? Was the process different for you?
Yeah, the process was quite different with this record. Much much more like the very first record that I did, where we had all live players. So we really did no programming. There's synths on a couple of songs, but by and large, it's acoustic instrumentation. And that was really fun to have so many talented people come through the studio and work on these songs. I felt so privileged, and Murray just took such good care of the songs, and we, you know, really valued my input as well. So creatively, it was very freeing and just a privilege and honor to work with so many talented people.
Any challenges as you were going through the recording process?
Well, I was pregnant, so I had the challenge of not having a whole lot of air capacity, you know, and a little bit of heartburn and that kind of thing, which affects the vocals. So we ended up dropping keys in a couple of songs, which is kind of fun. When a person gets pregnant, it actually lowers their voice quite a bit. I would say other than that, you know, working a day job at the same time, that was also a little challenging. So it was a really busy time. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing what you love, it's energizing and come alive. So I was really happy.
Right. Well, looking at it, we've got time for one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish a conversation with singer-songwriter Jaylene Johnson. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
There are things I've done I never should have done, and things I've said I never should have said. I can't forget, and it's messing with my head. The things I've done, the things I've said. I'd be telling lies if I said that I'd be good, that every time I do everything I should. If I tried, did the very best I could, wouldn't be enough, I could not be good. I'm falling, falling. I am falling, falling. I am falling, falling into the arms of mercy. So I pray for grace, I know I don't deserve, and all I have couldn't pay you what it's worth. But you said it's mine, so I take you at your word. I need this grace that I don't deserve. I'm
back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Fallen from the Jaylene Johnson's new CD, Potter and Clay. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Jaylene. What's been the reaction to the CD so far?
I've had really good reaction. I've been able to send out advance copies to people who helped fund the record. And so far, all the comments I've had back have been really positive. And that's very encouraging. You know, what can I say?
And as people are listening to the CD, what are you hoping that they're going to take away from listening to your journey and what you've been going through?
Well, it is a journey. Like, the record from top to bottom, if people even listen to records that way anymore, goes through some considerable desert time. And I would say by toward the end of the record, there's a sense of surrender and I pray hopefulness. Surrender to God's sovereignty and God's care and God's love. And I hope that the record would be, my hope would be that it'd be a healing experience for people. Again, that the songs might express some of the things their own hearts need to say. And maybe in my being as open as I've been on the album, you know, it might allow others to feel like they can be open as well. 'Cause I think that's a key step in the healing process and in our spiritual journey as well, is to be open and be able to be real with each other.
You just mentioned that it sort of follows a theme, a progression. Was that deliberate from the beginning, or did that sort of just happen as you were getting into the recording and production process?
It happened as I selected songs, definitely. And then as I selected the order of the songs, I noticed that I could manage to put them in that kind of a sequence.
And how can people find out more about Potter and Clay or more about you?
Well, they can sign up for my newsletter, which would be great, at jaylenejohnson.com. I don't in emails, but I do keep them in touch with what's going on in my with touring and my record and whatnot. Even just at jaylenejohnson.com, they can get more info or find me on Facebook.
Great. Well, Jaylene, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you. I really appreciate chatting with you about this, Robert.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Jaylene Johnson. If you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email Robert at artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13, look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.